Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. And we are going to discuss today Saram. Anybody knows what that means? Saram. Saram. It's the essence. So we're going to discuss the essence. This is an amazing chapter. And we're just finishing, I think the next verse finishes Vidura's questions. And they're so deep. I was reading it and I was thinking, are these still questions? Because they're so deep. And it gives us an understanding of who we are, where we are. Because without knowing who or where you are, how can you progress? It's like when you're lost, right? You call somebody, I don't know where I am. You know, I'm lost. I don't know where you live. And then they say, well, where are you? And they say, well, I'm here and there. And they go, okay, just turn right and left and we're right here. But you got to know where you are. You got to know who you are. Otherwise, you begin to think of, you know, I want this, I want that, I want, instead of understanding that actually I am who I really am. So that's the essence. So what do you think of when you hear the word Sharan, the essence? Myself, I think of like the nectar that comes from the flower, like the bees, you know, they get the essence. Or I think of essential oils, you know, from the plants are very powerful. Or you think of the essence of milk, right? Butter or ghee. So what do you think of, somebody, when you think of essence? Anything comes to mind? Ah, well, how did you know about the class? we're going to talk about, yeah. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is doing. It's increasing our quality of thinking to what is the essence of everything. Exactly. And that's what we'll find out today in class. So let's get right to the verse. Tada shakusha rava sarma datur Hadir katame vakata susadam Udrita puspebya ivarta bando Shivaya nakirta yatirta kirte. Tadasha kosha rava sharma datur Hadir katame vakata susadam Udrita puspebya ivarta bando Shivaya nakirta yatirta kirte. Tadasha kosha rava sharma datur Hadir katame vakata susadam Udrita puspebya ivarta bando Shivaya nakirta itirta kirte. Tada shakosharava sharma datur. Hadir katam eva katasa sadam. Udritya puspe bhivarta bando. Shivaya nakirtaya tirta kirte. Tadasya kosharava sharma datur. Hadir katam eva katasu sadam. Udrita puspebhya ivarta bando. Shivaya nakirtaya tirta kirte. Tadasya kosharava sharma datur. Hadir katam eva katasya sadam. Udritya puspebhya ivarta bando. Shivaya nakirtaya tirta kirte. Vaishnavis. Tadasya kosharava sharma datur. Udritya puspevya evarta bandhu. Sundara bhajata bhajata bhajata. Tadasya kosharava sharma datur. Hadir katam eva katasya sadam. Udritya vasneta evarta bandhu. Shivaya nakirtaya tirta kirte. Tadasya kosharava sharma datur. Derkatam eva satasa sadam. Mass. The Rondu. Dhamma tirtha tirtha deta. Jai. Hadir katam eva katasu sadam. Udrita puspebhya ivarta bandhu. Shivaya nakirtaya tirtha kirte.
Such a beautiful verse.
Tat. Therefore, Asya, his, Kosharava, O Maitreya, Sharmadatu, of one who wards good fortune, Hare, of the Lord, Katam, topics, Eva, only, Katasu, of all topics, Saram, the essence, Udritya, by quoting, Puspebhya, from the flowers, Eva, like that, Artabando, O friend of the distressed, Shivaya, for welfare, na, of us, Kirtaya, kindly describe, Tirtha, pilgrimage, Kirte, of glorious, Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Maitreya, O friend of the distressed, the glories of the Supreme Lord can alone do good for people all over the world. Therefore, just as bees collect honey from flowers, kindly describe the essence of all topics, the topics of the Lord. Please repeat, O Maitreya, O friend of the distressed, the glories of the Supreme Lord can alone do good for people all over the world. Therefore, just as bees collect honey from flowers, kindly describe the essence of all topics, the topics of the Lord. Purport. There are many topics for different persons and different modes of material nature, but the essential topics are those in relationship with the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, materially affected conditioned souls are more or less averse to the topics of the Supreme Lord because some of them do not believe in the existence of God and some of them believe only in the impersonal feature of the Lord. So here's a picture describing all the mundane literatures. But we want to experience the transcendental literatures. We'll go back to this. And the last paragraph of the purport. In both cases, there's nothing for them to say of God. But the non-believers and the impersonalists deny the essence of all topics. Therefore, they engage in topics of relativity in various ways, either in sense gratification or in mental speculation. For the pure devotees like Vidura, the topics of both the mundaners and the mental speculators are useless in all respects. Thus, Vidura requests Maitreya to talk of the essence only, the talks of Krishna and nothing else. Om Gyana Tamananda Shaganjana Svakya Chakshusumi Tamina Tasma Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitami Nibhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapatantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Chubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vachapititam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So the translation again. O Maitreya, O friend of the distressed, the glories of the Supreme Lord can alone do good for people all over the world. Therefore, just as bees collect honey from flowers, kindly describe the essence of all topics, the topics of the Lord. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada talks about how there's many different topics of persons in different modes of material nature. But the essential topics are those in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's a nice image showing that there's so many Vedic, so many mundane literatures out there. And you can see the trash can there with the crows on it. And that's what they're compared to. But there's a nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from 2.3.17. And it says, both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So this is a nice purport here. Srila Prabhupada mentions how this verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with Krishna by accelerating devotional service. And he talks about how time and tide, it waits for no man. So time indicates by the sun rising and the sun setting. And it's usually uselessly wasted if we don't properly utilize it in realizing our spiritual values, like understanding who we are or where we are, you know, what is our purpose, you know, these things, what is the essence of life. So this human life is simply awarded to us so that we can realize our spiritual identity and our permanent source of happiness. It's like we're thinking, I'm not happy because of you, or I'm not happy because of this. So we think we have to get happiness from outside of us. Or we blame other people for this or that. But actually, we have to understand, what are we? We are Satchitananda. We are blissful happiness. Why do we have to, like, it's not dependent on you. My happiness is not dependent on you, right? But my happiness, I already am happy if I really understand who I am. You see, so this is the whole purpose of the Vedic literatures. So when we come in contact with any of these energies of Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, all these things, then that's the proper channel to open the door to become perfect. So this next slide here is part of the same painting. This is interesting. I picked out this particular image, just cut this out, because thanks to Naikatma Prabhu, our property manager, he created a reading and japa area just on the other side of Tulsi Devi, behind the Life Membership House. So there's a sign there says reading and japa area only. So just to give us the impetus to not forget Krishna. So there's a nice verse that says, Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Ananda Ba Hir Mukha. That forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. So just see, just that one example, like, I think it's because of you that I'm suffering. Because of you. But it's not. It's Maya, actually. This is external energy, and it's causing misery because of that. And this is a interesting purport Srila Prabhupada says, that when the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, he's immediately trapped by the illusory energy. The living entity is originally part and parcel of Krishna and is therefore the superior energy of Krishna. He's endowed with inconceivable, minute energy that works inconceivably within the body. However, the living entity, forgetting his position, forgets who he is situated in the material energy. The living entity is called the marginal energy because he could go back and forth from spiritual to material. So he goes back and forth. So being that marginal position, he's sometimes attracted by the external illusory energy, and this is the beginning of his material life. When he enters material energy, he is subjected to the threefold time measurements, past, present, and future. But that doesn't exist in the spiritual world. So, the living entity is eternal, and he existed before the creation of this material world. Unfortunately, he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. The living entity's forgetfulness is described herein as anadi, which indicated that it could be from time immemorial. And one should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into material existence. So don't only know who we are and where we are, but why we are here. So it's described. So in the next purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the non-believers. And here we see this image. He says the non-believers, the impersonalists, they deny the topics of Krishna. And they engage in topics of relativity in various ways. So they're trying to understand this material energy. And it's all sense gratification and material speculation. But for devotees like Vidura, you know, the topics both of the mundaners and the mental speculators are useless, according to Vidura, in all respects. So thus, Vidura requests Maitreya just to talk about the essence only, the talks of Krishna and nothing else. And as Satchinoda was saying, we have to understand this is from the first canon, 11th chapter, text 26 in the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, the essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called Sharam. And those who sing and talk about him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. And then Prabhupada quotes a wonderful prayer by Rupa Goswami. And he says, this is what he says. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly therefore give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are all the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet, but because of your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. And this is what Srila Prabhupada did. He taught us how to fix our mind at the lotus feet. And we'll give a couple examples here as we go on. So here's another nice verse from the first canto. This is questions by the sages. Here we're having Vidura's question, Maitreya. And here at the beginning, we're having more questions. So this is the verse. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them, there are many prescribed duties, which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions, their hearts may be fully satisfied. And then still in the first canto, in the third chapter, there's another verse talking about this. Saram, saram, sumudritam. So it mentions it twice. This is a translation. It's like saram, saram is cream of the cream. It's taken out. So Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. To see of the universe. All of this. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says there that this Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the cream of the milk. Vedic literature is like the milk, ocean of knowledge. Cream or butter is the most palatable essence of milk, and so also is Srimad Bhagavatam, for it contains all palatable, instructive, and authentic versions of different activities of the Lord and his devotees. So Prabhupada warns that we have to be careful that this milk is not touched by the mouth of a snake. And what is that? That these are the people that try to misinterpret or bring their own meanings into these transcendental literatures. Otherwise, that same Bhagavatam will be the cause of our spiritual death, of whoever hears it. So Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Krishna himself in the form of recorded knowledge. Therefore, it is the cream of all the Vedas. And it contains all historical facts of all times in relation with Sri Krishna. It is factually the essence of all histories. And then there's another nice verse from the second canto. It talks about this saram, which is an interesting translation. It's the same word. But it says, Tad asma saram hridayam bhate dam. That here he calls this asma saram as still framed. And it says, certainly that heart is still framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. So it's an interesting word how saram is the cream, but if we're not really like serious, we don't see any changes with this cream, then our heart is still framed. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the material world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering service to the Lord, rendering living service. So we have to gradually give that up and engage in service. So there's another section there I'd like to just point out. Prabhupada says, we must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. If they are properly performed, there will follow reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are the natural consequences and are preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. So how do we tell if our heart is still framed? If we don't have these symptoms. So not only we can actually tell where we're at. So Prabhupada says, the whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. Prabhupada ends that nice purport by saying, a complete progressive march on the return path home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So just see the importance of the devotees and our association of how we're guided. This same verse is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in that purport, Prabhupada says, the change must be manifested in terms of one's real activities. So we get into the essence, the reality of everything. And here's one of the examples of utilizing our time for Krishna. I was talking with the Mukundadatta Prabhu yesterday or the day before. And he was telling me, you know, he's from Vrindavan, so he was telling me about this. We're discussing something and he reminded him, oh, have you heard of the Lala Babu of Vrindavan? He started this temple. This is the temple. It's called the Lala Babu Temple. It has Sri Sri Radha Krishna Chandra. So he was born in 1775. He was around 40 years when he came to Vrindavan and established these deities of Sri Sri Radha Krishna Chandra and Lalita Devi. It established that in 1810. So what happened is this Lala Babu is a very wealthy landlord and banker, I think, also. And he used to go for walks, you know, a little distance from his mansion, and he'd go along the side of the river. And once when he was walking, he heard a boatman remark, oh, brother, the day is over. Go across. So hearing the boatman's words, he became immersed in contemplation. It's like, So then he crossed the river by boat, and he returned home. And the next day, during his walk, he heard a voice of a washerman addressing his wife. And he said, the day's over. Go and burn the vasana. So washermen burn banana plants. It's called vasana. So because it's a kind of alkaline for washing clothes, they use that. So in Bengali, the bark of the banana plant is called vasana. But also vasana means desire or passion. So Lala Babu took this remark to mean, the day's over. The days of your life are over. Quickly burn your lusty desires. So he had that realization. So it made a deep impression on him. And then that's when he abandoned his grandiose life. And he just, even his family, and he came to Vrindavan. And he began performing bhajan there. And that's where he started this temple. So just see the realization. My life is wasted. I have everything in the mature world. I'm so wealthy, but my life is... He had that realization. It's amazing. So Prabhupada quoted in a lecture here that in Vrindavan that he gave on the Nectar Devotion. He said, my Guru Maharaj used to say that don't waste time. Don't wait for another life. In this life, finish this business to understand Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. That is required. And there's a lecture he gave in Los Angeles, which is very nice. He says here, don't waste a single moment. This should be your life policy. And he quotes a verse from the Madhya Lila. Rupa Goswami advises, an advanced devotee should always look whether my time is wasted. Avyarta kalatvam. Varta means useless. So that should be one of the main target of devotees, that whether I'm wasting my time. Don't waste your time. Always pour in the activities of Lord Krishna. Always, 24 hours. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sada, which means always, 24 hours. Otherwise, it is the snake hole. Similarly, Jivasati Dadurvikeva Sutta. So Dadurvikeva means a frog's tongue. Ka, ka, ka. Ka, ka, ka. No, Dadurvikeva Sutta na. So he quotes, this should be our motto of life, the glorious activities of Krishna. So here's another example. The other day I met another devotee. She's from Villa Varshana, Spain, in Malaga. She's a god sister, my wife. Hemagori is her name. And she's the temple president's wife there. And we're talking, I was taken to the airport, and she was mentioning how is it being the president's wife? You know, are you engaged fully? And she goes, yeah, really engaged. She goes, it's so much that, you're thinking of Krishna all day when you're in the temple, right? You're doing your services. And then when we go home, what are we doing? We're always talking about the temple. We're talking about the devotees of the temple, like that. So you could just see what it would be like to be like a temple president, right? Savas is probably home always thinking about Krishna and devotions to Krishna. So Prabhupada says here, the Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for conditioned soul. So just see, each one of us have all these impressions, these samskaras from previous lives, and then we're bumping into each other, and we're thinking, it's because of you, samskaras, you're affecting me, so then we're creating more samskaras, and it just becomes a planet of miseries. So here's the sages, again, from the first canto. They're saying, O Suta Goswami, we're eager to learn about the personality of Godhead. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by the previous masters, for it's uplifting both for the speaker and the hearer. And they're mentioning how living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Because Krishna's name is so powerful, there's no difference between Krishna and his name, so he can help us in time of danger. And then they say here, O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can only sanctify only after prolonged use. So the power of the devotees here is being emphasized. So this is what Prabhupada mentions there. So here's the verse. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? And so we see leaders of society are very much interested in and anxious to live in peace, right, and friendship. I want. It's like, right, we want something to make us happy instead of I am. So this is the leaders. They completely don't know. They deny the existence of God, but they don't know how simple it is that just come and glorify Krishna, the essence. So here's that verse. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Suka, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest region of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So the Prabhupada says in the purport that this prayer pretty much summarizes the complete introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a cream. So this is what... So Prabhupada said, there's no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. There's no materialistic creature, he says, all the way from Brahma to the insignificant ant, they cannot be happy. Everyone's trying to make a permanent plan for happiness, but they're baffled by the laws of material nature. And Prabhupada says that they're so foolish that they don't even think of getting out of it. To see where the level, the quality of their thoughts are. They don't even think about it. They don't even want to. So they're like that. So it's, and that's compared, Prabhupada says, to the camel who relishes thorny twigs because he likes the taste of the twigs mixed with blood. Because his tongue is being cut by those thorns. So similarly, he says, the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey. And although he's always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. Such materialists are called karmis. So just see, these material creations are like thorns you're chewing. And all you're doing is bleeding. Is that? It's crazy. So Prabhupada said in the purport today, he said, Vidura requests Maitreya to talk the essence only, the talks of Krishna, nothing else. So we can say that, thus Srila Prabhupada requested us to talk of the essence only, the talks of Krishna and nothing else. So that's famous Prabhupada says, don't talk nonsense. Don't waste time. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. But don't talk nonsense. So this is it. Prabhupada mentions there how we have to be friendly, actually, in the same section there, that we should be sympathetic and friendly. As Krishna says, we should be Suridam Sarvabhutanam. If we're Krishna's representative, how can we be enemy of anyone else? I must be friendly. Friendly, poetic and expert. Silent worker. So these are the qualifications of a devotee. So this is Prabhupada. Don't talk nonsense. And I'll just end with this. In the Civilization of Transcendence, there's a chapter called Progressing Beyond Progress, talking about material progression. So Pushta Krishna is asking Prabhupada, he says, they're having like a debate conversation. Yes, the usual charge is that this Vedic system of civilization is fatalistic and that as a result, people are not making as much material progress as they otherwise would. So Prabhupada says, no, no, the Vedic system is not fatalistic. It is fatalistic only in the sense that one's material destiny cannot be changed. But your spiritual life is in your hands. So see, my misery, my advancement is not dependent on you. It's in your hands. It's like I'm suffering because of me. You know, it's like, so we have to come to that realization. The whole Vedic civilization is based on the understanding that destiny allows only a certain amount of material happiness in this world and that our efforts should therefore be directed towards self-realization. Nobody is enjoying uninterrupted material happiness. That is not possible. A certain amount of material happiness and a certain amount of material distress, these both must be present always. So just as you cannot check your distressing condition of life, similarly, you cannot check your happy condition of life. It will come automatically. Therefore, don't waste your time with these things. Better you utilize your energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So Pushta Krishna says, so then, Srila Prabhupada, would it be awkward after all to say that people who have this Vedic conception would not try for progress? Srila Prabhupada says, no, no, no. Progress, first you must understand what is actual progress. The thing is that if you don't try to progress, that is, if you try to progress vainly, what is the use of trying? It is a fact you cannot change your material destiny. Why should you try for that? Rather, whatever energy you have, utilize it for understanding Krishna consciousness. That is real progress. Make your spiritual understanding, your understanding of God and self, perfectly clear. See? So Prabhupada used example. For instance, In our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, our main business is how to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We're not enthusiastic about opening big, big factories with big, big money-earning machines. No, we are satisfied with whatever material happiness and distress are destined. But we are very eager to utilize our energy for progressing in Krishna consciousness. This is the point. So that's the essence, the saram of everything. Jai. So thank you very much for your kind attention. I'd like to open up for any comments, questions, realizations. Yeah, so many hands came up at once. I'm not sure who. Let's go with Archita first.
Nice class, Prabhu. I just want to point out, and it's not to minimize the importance of Prabhupada's disciples, but we must always remember that Prabhupada translated and commentated only up to 10.13. You read something from 11th canto and you said, the Prabhupada said in his purport. It's not Prabhupada's purport. It's purport of his disciples. That doesn't mean that they should be minimized in any way, but we should, just for clarity, especially with new people, they don't know. They see the Bhagavatam and they think the entire Bhagavatam is Prabhupada, but it's not. He stopped at 10.13. That's where he left this world. So everything from 10.14 to the end of the 12th canto, commentary is from Prabhupada's disciples. Doesn't mean it's not accurate, but we should just know for accuracy, we should know.
Thank you for that reminder. Appreciate it. Bhrigupati's hand went up.
Yeah, thank you. One of the verses you quoted was, I think it was from the second canto, does not the heart, isn't the heart's steel frame, which
yes.
doesn't change
yeah.
when it experiences ecstasy, right?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense to me.
2.3.24. Certainly that heart is still framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place.
How
Tears
would ecstasy
fill the eyes and hairs stand on end.
Yeah. How would that happen if the person's heart is still framed? I mean, if you're experiencing ecstasy, you would think, that, you know, how do you get to that ecstasy if your heart's steel framed?
Oh, okay. I'll let Archie answer. Yeah.
Yes, this dichotomy has been known, obviously, for a long time. And it's still being discussed by BBT editors who have to be very careful about making any change because otherwise people will say, why are you changing what Prabhupada said?
Yeah.
But so they have to carefully research the original transcripts of what Prabhupada wrote. A lot of errors were introduced at that stage. Prabhupada would speak in the dictaphone and then the tape was given to somebody to transcribe and then that transcription was typed out and given to editors to edit. So along the line, quite often, you know, some mistakes were introduced. So some or other, this slipped through and it was printed like this, and now there's discussion about what to do. Can it be massaged in a way that it makes more sense? Because it really doesn't make sense, as Bhrigupati is pointing out. If your heart is steel framed and you're chanting with concentration, you will not experience hair standing on end. These things will not be there.
Yeah.
And conversely, if you're feeling hair standing on end and all that other stuff, then obviously your heart is pure. It's not steel framed. So it really doesn't make sense the way it's presented right now, but we'll have to see what can be done.
That's a very good point. You were very attentive to catch that. But I actually had that question too when I was doing that. But I figured, well, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we have to be very careful, and he talked about offenses, that we will not experience that if we're not chanting purely with offense. We're chanting with offenses. So, I mean, we understand it through the purport, of course. But yeah, yes, Prabhu. Okay.
The question is, three times I think you mentioned this word.
Saram.
Phrase. No, I am suffering because of you.
Yeah,
mentioned that three times. So just the question will be, is there any room for actually partially blame someone? For example, I'll give you an example. A children are there in the home, and the father and mother, they didn't really pay too much attention and put a lot of drugs, and the children take those drugs. That will be one. They're ignorant. The kids don't know. And another one will be, now there's a big issue in the court, in the government about, let's say a woman is being raped, and it's like, the immediately I'm suffering because of you. In another one, I mean, this, you can make a big list.
Yeah,
the industry, you know, all this exploiting everything, and the food is being poisoned, pesticides, and then like you're obliged to eat that because of different reasons.
Yeah.
In a sense, you don't have to, but you can make your choices. But still, so
now that's a
government
very,
leaders. Yeah. Okay,
that's
can
a
you
very
explain?
Important point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, obviously, as I mentioned, we all have our samskaras and we affect each other and we create pain for each other. So we are affected. But the sense is that do we carry that with us forever in our mind? It's like I'm reliving that in my mind, what happened to me because of you. But I have the power to change it. I have the power to forgive. I have the power to bring my thoughts, my thinking to a higher level. You know, have compassion. You could do these things so that you get purified from that. And this is what the Bhagavatam did. It's like Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. We're actually getting rid of the dust on this mirror so we can see clearly. But if we just focus on that, that's the point. You don't want to just focus on that. You have the power to change it. Yeah. Yeah. We tolerate. So, very good point. Thank you. Well, thank you again for your kind attention. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.